it's not a red card. It's not because it's Arsenal. Believe me, I like to think I'm objective enough to say that it is a red, wasn't a red. That for me is a disgraceful decision.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
And you're welcome to episode 62 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. The first half of the pod each week free to air, the second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. So this week for members, we're going to focus on four specific Grade 1 races at the Dublin Racing Festival at Leberstown, the Scilly Isles Chase at Sandown, and we'll also get Johnny's charity bet. Subscribe now. Johnny, how are you?
Very well, JD.
Looking forward to this Dublin Racing Festival. All ticket event. Going to be lots of racegoers from the UK, which we're going to very much welcome. And cracking racing.
Cracking racing, yeah. They've capped the attendance at, is it 18,500? And that's a really, really rare thing in racing nowadays where they've had to actually, it's a bit like the League of Ireland where they've actually had to stop people coming, and that's not a problem in Irish racing pretty much in any other, I can't think of any other meeting. We were at Laytown last year where there's probably a cap on it kind of to an extent because of the facilities. But to say that, you know, we have to actually stop people getting in for ease of kind of, you know, custom and just the idea of having a nice day without having loads of queues. But whatever, they haven't marketed particularly to British trainers, or either they haven't, they have marketed and it's not working, or they just haven't marketed and you can see why British trainers are staying at home. British racegoers love it. I think it's been said to me, it's cheaper to come to Dublin, and Dublin's not cheap, but it's cheaper to come to Dublin for 2 days and stay over on Saturday night than it is to go to Cheltenham.
Also, our condolences as well today to the family of John Hales and his friends as well. He sadly passed away at the age of 85, the owner of One Man, Azertiop and Neptune Collange. A real good, generous contributor to the game, Johnny.
Absolutely, yeah. John Hales passed away, 85 years of age. You know, a very recognisable figure. And I'd just like to mention Eric McNamara's wife, Paul, as well. You know, the role that the McNamara family have had in racing. Eric's had on the track, he's had a really, really excellent sort of year and a half or so with winning his local Munster National as well. And massive, massive loss to the family. They're really, really like absolute gentlemen, the family, the McNamaras. We've sent our condolences to them as well.
Absolutely. We're delighted to have on the show today as well the William Hill ambassador, broadcaster and former jockey, Jane Mangan. How are you, Jane?
I'm very well. It's been a busy morning, John. There's been lots of chopping and changing, but we now have our full field of decks for 2 days of what should be fantastic racing at Leberstown.
It is going to be great, Jane. Let's get into it if we can. The Grade 1 Irish Arkle Novice Chase, 2 miles and a furlong, 2:55 on Saturday, 6 runners. Majborough, Ile Atlantique, Jeanne Lapin in here, Firefox. Majborough won the Triumph Hurdle at Cheltenham last season, then it won at Ferry House in December. We'll come on for that. Is he the real deal for you?
I think he is. Even when I saw him first in the flesh at this meeting last year when he finished third behind Cargese in the Spring Juvenile, and he just always looked like a chaser, and I don't think anybody could have been critical of his beating of Tully Hill, an Asian master, in his beginner's chase at Ferry House. The one concern you might have is inexperience, but, you know, people had that concern, including myself, when Sergino took on Ballyburn. I think these horses are so well schooled now, particularly coming from the big outfits, that they know what they have. And while Ile Atlantique obviously has a little bit more experience, having run in the Grade 2 at Nathan, beating Firefox, who reopposes, I think Majborough is the real deal. And if there is an Arkle winner, if there isn't an Ergumen who won it in 2021 or an El Fabiolo who won it in 2023, if there really is a proper champion chase prospect in here, I think it's Majborough.
Yeah, Willie has quite a few odds on favourites this weekend, and Jane and I were up at his yard last week and he laughed at the notion of ever completing the 8 Grade 1 set again as he did last year, when in fact if you were to have a bet on it, it wouldn't actually be a massive price. But I don't know about you, Jane. I do fancy Firefox to have a good chance of reversing form with Ile Atlantique on the ground. At Nace, I fancied Firefox, but to be fair, I'm going to give myself a bit of an out. The ground was pretty much heavy shortly afterwards, and he didn't go on it. That's what Gordon Elliott said. He's actually a very solid horse, and he doesn't have the ability of Marshbear, in my opinion. But I think he could be the value in the forecast, Jane. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I actually like Firefox. Sometimes question is he a little bit of a nearly horse. He didn't quite win a grade one over hurdles. Always thought he was a chaser, kind of excused him for that last year because he was going to be a chaser. Then thought he was unlucky in the Drinmore, where I thought Keith Donoghue just got it wrong and Sam Ewing got it right on Crow Park. But I was disappointed with him at Nace. I hope it is down to the ground, but he's going to have to prove it for me. The question is, you know, do any of the others step up? And Jeannot Lapin is a talking horse because he's a great story. He's a 3 grand ex-point pointer, and he's from a small outfit in Garoda Loughlin. But this horse, like, his first ever course start from a point to point was in his beginner's chase at Christmas. He surely can't be going 50 cuffs over the last of these on his second run on the track. That would be a huge ask, wouldn't it?
A relative of Sparrow Loughlin, if I remember rightly. So a good clear, I think, anyway. Yeah.
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a mad story. Like, when I'd never heard of this horse really before, and then as he's crossing the line.
Nobody had. 150 to 1 chance.
Even on the screen, he's absolutely
18
massive.
18 hands.
Massive. Jane, would you fancy riding him, actually?
Back in the day, Johnny.
Back in the day, like, say in a hypothetical, right, what do you do with him? Just enjoy it, I guess.
Oh, I'd say you just send him. Keep going forward. He looks like he's a scope that he should have, and he looks like he's a great mind as well. But as they quite rightly pointed out when they bought him, he's by Dr. Vino out of... His mother's a sister to Epitant. So he's actually bred to be quite fast for a horse who's built to be, you know, a 3 mile Gold Cup type or 3 mile point to point or whatever way you want to look at it. But anyway, he has an interesting layer of intrigue. But look, Willie's won the last 4 renewals, but he's won it with some really good ones. And the one thing I will say is, coming into this meeting last year, not even the great Paul Townend knew that Dancing City was the horse to be on. He didn't know that Ile de Tompe was to be the one to be on. And he picked Storm Heart instead of picking Targhazy. This is the beauty of the Dublin Racing Festival. A lot of these horses are coming in here unexposed, either over hurdles and fences, like Majbara. Not that jockeys had an option of Majbara, but if they don't know, then it's a real puzzle for us to try and solve.
Yeah, that's true. And Danny,
we told you, Dancing City last year at the preview, Danny, 20 to 1.
Yeah, and Danny Mullins, that was the first leg of his 3 Grade One winners.
That's right.
That is absolutely, Jane's absolutely right. Like, you can 100% the you can back a Willie Mullins horse, at a really generous price because he or she is not the stable first string on jockey bookings, and you're still backing a Willie Mullins horse. Remember that.
Yeah, Atlanti got to really do like as a horse, actually. I think as when they always say that the horse is stronger this season, I always take that note, because I remember with Hedge Hunter, that definitely was the case.
I just can't have him on, for me, all his best form is on proper soft ground, but he's a very good horse.
So is it Majbara for you then, Jane?
It is.
Okay. As simple as that. The Gold Cup then, 3:30 on Saturday at Leopardstown Dublin Racing Festival. Galopin de Chance is the king of the division. 6 out of 6 over fences at the course. Course and distance winner. Twice Cheltenham Gold Cup winner. Ground will not be an issue. Will need to underperform to give the others a chance. Factophile, second behind Galopin at Christmas. Jane, ran a bit too free. How would you ride Factophile?
Cold. Ride him like you're uncompetitive for the first 2 miles and start picking away. I think this race is going to really set up for him. He's got more runners to get cover. It looks on paper like a deep race, but I think half of these are going to be dropping away down the back straight on the second circuit. And I think Factophile has been... Obviously, he's a huge talent, and obviously he looks like he could be the heir apparent to his stable companion in the Gold Cup division. But a lot of people are writing him off because, oh, he's too keen. He's too keen, my eye. He's a little bit keen. He doesn't have a severe bit. He doesn't wear a severe noseband. He's never worn, like, excessive equipment. He was just a fraction keen the last day, having won a Grade One over 2.5 miles in November. So I think the stepping up on trip was actually kind of not confusing the horse a bit, but the horse is used to going quicker over a shorter distance. I think he'll have learnt a bit from Christmas. They'll have cover here. I think he'll get an awful lot closer to Galopin Shop. I don't know if he'll beat him here, but I think I'd be interested to hear what Johnny thinks. I think he'll give him a proper fright.
Like, he had one race out of Novice Company, which he won, and then he obviously came here to take on Galopin Shop, who's one of the best chain chasers ever. And he was beaten Fair and square in the end, but like he didn't do everything right in the day. I agree with Jane, there's more to come from it. I disagree in the sense that I wouldn't be riding him cold. If Callum Deschamps was getting into a rhythm up front, I want to be relatively close to him. I feel this is a bit of a fact-finding mission for JP McManus, and you know, obviously, Jane, your dad's horse for Lanstower isn't going to go on the Gold Cup. I'm actually not sure, you know, I know the way you're thinking isn't going to go on the Gold Cup either. He's in this race. I'm not entirely sure Factifile is going to run the Gold Cup. If he's well beaten here, they'll probably say, well, could we go to the Ryanair at Cheltenham? And with respect to all of that, we should be talking about the DRF, but I'd like to know where I stand with him. I wouldn't be giving Galopin Deschamps too much rope here if I were a fact file. I trust in his jumping and the fact that he stays and the fact that he can give him a race.
Jane, what do you think?
I think he's going to have to relax and breathe for the first 2 miles. I think that's a pivotal thing. This horse is still relatively inexperienced over fences. He's 4 from 6 over fences. And with every respect, as a novice, he was kind of just too good to learn anything. Go back to this meeting last year where he took on
a
subsequent Arkell winner and put him on the floor because he has that much natural speed. So I think they're going to have to use this as a teaching lesson a little bit. And don't forget, JP McManus has 2 other horses in there that might just make sure Galopin Deschamps doesn't get an easy lead. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, and I'm not suggesting for a second that I know the way you're thinking jumped quick enough or is good enough to go with Galopin Deschamps up front. But I don't think Galopin Deschamps is going to get an easy lead. I think Embassy Gardens will go forward. We know Conflated likes to go forward. Hewick likes to race handy. And Monty Starr is slow. So I think they're going to ride him as a stamina horse. But it's a fantastic renewal of the race. Look, Willie's won it 13 times. Florida Pearl being a 4-time winner. So this guy is hoping to emulate Florida, who obviously won 3 of them. Jodami won 3. Beaver Salmon won 3. So he'd be going into quite an unusual bunch there, but he'd be the first horse to ever win 2 Gold Cups and 3 Irish Gold Cups. So it'd be a pretty serious record. It's a very good race. And you know what? I'm kind of relieved that I know we don't have Jerry Colomb and we don't have Spillane's Tower, but we still have quite a good field that more horses... I was worried 2 weeks ago that more horses were going to dodge this race because what Galopin Deschamps did at Christmas, but it actually is quite a good race.
Yeah, and you need to, like, racing owners need to be running in these races. They really do. And the Dublin, like, the fact that there are 10 runners here, and even surprisingly three place races in some of the great ones on Sunday that I wasn't expecting, it's massive for turnover, which is very important. It's massive for the interest in the race that you can have an each way bet if you don't want to back odds on, which most people don't.
Or you can back without Galopin.
Or you can back without and you can even back each way without.
So you can also back without the two too.
The one concern I'd have about Galopin Deschamps, and I said this after Cheltenham last year, he's had a lot of hard races as a staying chaser. It's very, very hard for me to keep that up. It's grueling.
I think we see that at Punchestown in April, May, but we haven't seen it at Leopardstown.
Maybe he seems unbeatable.
Look at the way he went through the line at Christmas.
He should be unbeaten at Cheltenham. I think Leopardstown's probably his best track. It's my one concern is if you're back at Monty Starr as well. I by the way, he's like sort of the one potential flying the ointment. The yard form is still a worry for me. Too many Henry's horses just not quite at their best at the moment.
I'm with Galopin. You Galopin? Yeah,
no bet.
And Jane, like, who could be fixed for third here?
Embassy Gardens. Who could pick a hole in what he did at Tremor? I thought he won fair and square.
The hole I'd pick, I'm just not sure Monty Starr was at his best either. That's the only hole I'd pick, Jane, but otherwise I kind of agree.
Embassy Gardens disappointed me at Cheltenham, even though he finished second to Corbett's Cross. He didn't turn up against Corbett's Cross. Yeah. And he actually didn't turn up at Cheltenham the year he went to the Albert Barclay, and we all fancied him there. So I think he's a better horse at home. And I wouldn't have any confidence in him for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but I think he could run well here.
Yeah, and I think maybe the shorter distance might help. The Grade 1 Dublin Chase on Sunday, 2:10, 2 miles at Furlong. I'm looking here, El Fabiolo, first run of the season, highest rated of these, won the race by 8.5 lengths last year, jumping his Achilles heel, as we know. He could be the forgotten horse. I wouldn't rule out El Fabiolo from taking another big prize in his career over fences. But it's all about Gaelic Warrior, Jane. Finished second at Leopardstown at Christmas, the first run of the season. Not always straightforward, as we know. Probably might prefer to go right-handed, but he's got a huge engine. He's an Arkell winner. Paul Tennant rides. Would you like to be on him?
No, definitely not physically on him anyway, John. Jeez, he's a horrendous ride.
Right.
He's not a simple ride. He might be getting a little bit more mentally mature now, but he's, you know, what's interesting, they've put a tongue strap on him for the first time. That would be a little bit of a red flag for me. I thought he was really good in the Arkell last year, because we know that Found a 50 is good. But look, I'd be taking him on. He's too short for me. I was pleasantly surprised at what Marine National did behind Solness and Gaelic Warrior last time. That was a really good step in the right direction for him. Johnny Ward and I were in Castleton last week. We got a glimpse of El Fabiolo. He's such a big, towering beast of a horse. But I thought, looking at him that day, he looked like he might just need a run.
Okay.
We'll be getting, if anybody's going to Leopardstown, try and get down to the ringside to see him if you can. He usually trains up really light. Are we forgetting about Solness? You know, are we? Possibly.
Did everything just fall in his favour the last day? Because on the whole balance of his form, he's more of a handicapper, surely, than a graded horse. I mean,
With respect to the other jockeys, they probably said, like, they know their form in this race. This horse really can't stay there. And Gaelic Warrior, like Jane says, he has his kinks. And, for me, Marine National, I tipped him the last day. I don't think he could go any faster in the race. But I still, like Jane, I think it was an encouraging run. He actually battled for second as well. He lost that battle, but he showed more. Gaelic Warrior, you have to remember, his best form, or his best run over hurdles, was over 3 miles at the Pointstown Festival, and he's been turned into a 2 mile horse who 100%, and Willie downplayed this, but if you're jumping out to your right all the time, you're absolutely not suited to going left handed.
He didn't in the Arkle though, because he had covered.
Three of his last four runs now he's been beaten at a short price, so ability wise, as Jane says, now he's a tongue tie on him. Gaelic Warrior for me, I'm wary of him. I can't have Solness repeating it for all that he was good the last day with the ground in his favour. Tentative vote for me, Marine National each way. On El Fabiolo, I didn't get any sort of vibe that Willie thought. Like, if you look at his odds, the last five,
he's 8-1, yeah.
1-4, 1-5, 4-11, 2-9, 4-6, and all of a sudden you're getting 8-1. And that's a crazy price in form. I didn't get a good vibe from Willie about him.
Okay.
It's very much watch and see for me where he's at.
Marine National, to me, still has to prove it, that he's the same horse as he was over hurdles. Maybe in the spring festivals, he might come back to himself in the spring festivals. I'm getting the sense, Jane, is Solness each way for you, is it?
It's not. No, it's Marie National.
Right,
I think
for me,
win.
Yeah.
I think if the ground is yielding and no worse than yielding, which it currently is,
yeah,
I would go with him, because I think Gaelic Warrior is a bit of a mudlark. I think El Fabiolo sounds like he might need to run. I think we're all on the same page regarding Solness. And if Quilixios, Captain Guinness, or Gentleman Demi were good enough to win it, I think we'd be disappointed in all of the others. So, yeah, I listened to Barry Connell and Nick Luck's podcast yesterday. I know he's a very positive man about his own horses anyway, but I think even listening to him, he conceded that the horse is actually returning to his best. He mightn't be there yet, but he's on the way.
And best of Sean Flanagan, who has...
The pilot.
Well, Sean, and he's piloting some nice horses at the moment. Like, I think this is a very important point. When himself and Noel Meads, when they sort of ended their relationship per se, or ended that sort of agreement, there was no bridge burnt, and he just works hard. He's a valet. He works hard in terms of picking up rides, and this is an excellent ride for him to get. The one other thing I want to say about the race is Gaelic Warrior ran an absolute shocker at this meeting last year. Like, a shocker. He was so far below his best. That's another big worry for me.
The champion hurdle on Sunday, grade one, 3:20 is the post time. Paul Tennant rides State Man, which is fascinating, has won the race the last couple of years, but had a lifeless display at Christmas. And then Lassie Mouth didn't run at her best at Christmas behind Constitution Hill, but was brilliant last season. There could be a suspicion she wants further. But she is, I think when I'm looking at the ratings here, that he's a pound better off after she gets the allowance. Jane Mangan, who do you want to be on here, State Man or Lassie Mouth?
I'd be on the mare. I'm not surprised Paul Townend picked State Man. There's a couple of factors at play here. I think State Man around Leopardstown is a different State Man to the horse that's met Constitution Hill. So if anybody's going on the argument she got closer to Constitution Hill than he did, I'd throw it out the window, because he's not the same horse at Cheltenham, despite winning the champion hurdle last year. He's probably the most consistent horse in training with John Bond up until Christmas. And for whatever reason, he never rose gallop. Like, because we can honestly say he's better than Winter Fog. You know, whatever about getting trounced by brighter days ahead, he got beaten by Winter Fog. So obviously they're really happy with him at home if the champion jockey's picking him. But the mare had been running over 2.5 miles. She'd been taking on the likes of Tupo, Tell Me Something Girl, and Love Envoy. And then she goes to a proper grade one at Kempton, quick ground, and she meets the best champion hurdler we've seen probably since Istabrak. So I'd say there was a little bit of shell shock. I think Willie Mullins has basically said that publicly, and listening to him talking about her, I think he has her exactly where she wants to be, or where he wants her to be. I'd say Danny Mullins was pretty pleased to see his name next to her at 11 minutes past 12 this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be. We saw with Danny last year in the big one at Limerick at Christmas. Like, he obviously will be riding for Connections, and he rides for the trainer. But Danny Mullins will ride this race to win it. And I'm a bit like Jane. I'm not overly surprised Paul picked State Man, but at the same time, I'd find it hard to call. Tactically, it's going to be fascinating. If I were Danny, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't want it to be a crawl. Certainly not. And State Man can kind of go anyway, but he does have that. You know, he's had that one bad run the last season, first bad run ever, which is a bit of a concern for me. But yeah, it's one of these races you don't need to have a bet.
I think State Man should have been beaten Brighter Days ahead as well, the first run of the season. I just think State Man is a regular champion hurdle winner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go back the last 30, 40 years, you see, like, superstars are not every year. And there's been very good champion hurdle winners, and he's a very good horse. I just feel that he's a lot to prove for me. Can't back him with confidence. I'd be with Jane. I'd be with the mayor.
Market is going to be absolutely fascinating, yeah. Because these horses won't work together, and it was a difficult one for Paul Townend, but I bet you the market will get it right.
We're, for the radio section, going to give a free-to-air selection. Jane, do you want to pick one for the weekend for the radio section here?
Absolutely. I'll give you guys a handicap hurdle winner on the first
big
day.
Big words, Jane. Big words. Big words.
It's a 0-150 maximum field, and Meeting of the Waters runs off 112. Race of Blackmore rides for JP McManus and Willie Mullins off 10 stone 2. He's got a mark of 148 over fences, so he's theoretically £36 well in.
Yeah, he should win.
Meeting of the Waters, 2:25, Leopardstown on Saturday. Jane Mangan's tip for the radio. I'm going to go with Lady Vega Allen in this juvenile hurdle.
You've been a big shout out by Willie Mullins last week.
I also backed it at Christmas and was sick. 115, no, that's the other one. So it's 150 on Saturday. Lady Vega Allen about 4-1 shot. Jane selection about 9-4. Meeting of the Waters. What are you going for the radio?
I am Lorenzo in the 115 each way around about 40. I think it's top price 16s with Hills, I think, actually. The 115, loved his run the last day. Don't like the favourite at all, the price.
Gavin Cromwell trains I Am Lorenzo. So that's interesting to see at the Dublin Race Festival. All these tips for the radio are on Saturday. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. If you're looking for bonus content, including our look at four more Grade 1 Festival races at Dublin Racing Festival, Leopardstown, and the City Isles Chase, as well as Sandown and Johnny's Charity Bet, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe. Get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the
red flag. It's not because it's Arsenal, believe me. I like to think I'm objective enough to say that it is a red, wasn't a red. That for me is a disgraceful decision.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.